How many of you know what the acronym SBDR means? Anybody know what that means? It means what? That's right, Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. Way to go, Larry. I'll give you a smiley face for that when we get to class. It means that, exactly. And let me tell you just a little bit about them. It says that Southern Baptists have 65,000 trained volunteers, including chaplains, 1,550 mobile units for feeding, chainsaw, mud out, command, communication, child care, shower, laundry, water purification, repair and rebuild, power generations. It's one of the three largest mobilizers of trained disaster relief volunteers in the United States, along with the American Red Cross and the Salvation Army. They do a tremendous, tremendous job in the kingdom's work. And they do all of that for one reason, so that they may open up their ears, so that we may open up the ears and the eyes and the hearts of the people that we minister to, so that we can share the gospel with them. And that's very important. It's part of all we are. It's part of who God made us to be as believers in Jesus Christ. And so being doers of the word and not hearers only is something that we all should strive for. If you have your Bibles, open them up to Titus, please, the book of Titus. And we're going to look a little bit at that. Titus was also a mentee of the Apostle Paul. He was with the Apostle Paul in Ephesus when the things in Ephesus were going really great. He was with the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem where they went back for the council and where they shared what was happening among the Gentiles. He was also with Paul in Crete. And it was in Crete that Paul gave him some instructions to do, and that's found in chapter 1, verse 5. It says, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you would set in order that which remains, and appoint elders in every city I directed you." So he knew that it was very important. Paul knew that it was very important to go back to the churches, to establish the churches, to appoint elders, you know, so that the church may grow. And so they have something to do. The deeds, they were very, very important. And if you look at the book of Titus, it mentions the word good deeds or deeds about 8 or 9 times. It's mentioned in 1:16, 2:7, 2:14, 2:15, 3:1, 3:5, 3:8, and 3:14. And so you can see as you're reading, as you're doing your Bible reading, you come across a book like Titus, and there's something that keeps coming up back around. You need to know that the Apostle Paul is trying to do what? He's trying to emphasize that particular thing, right? He wants to emphasize that. And so he wants to emphasize these deeds, and that's what we're going to talk about. The first one is deeds that deny. Look at chapter 1, verse 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for every good deed. Joe, come up here a minute. Yeah, you, come here. I tried to get a hold of you all morning, but I didn't, so you're on the spot, so sit right here. Stand right here. He just got back from Fort Worth. And one of the things that he did in Fort Worth was admissions, but other things that he did was he joined an evangelism class. And he told me about the story of one particular person and his relationship to God. And so I want you to tell them briefly, what happened that day.
So we went out sharing the gospel with Everyday Evangelism at Fort, or at Southwestern's campus. And I met a guy named Austin. And Austin was sitting at a table with another buddy. His buddy's name was Leo. And so we walked up, and Austin's like, "I know you guys. I know what you do. I'm thankful for you guys. Keep doing it." And so I said, "Well, let's talk for a minute, Austin." And after I got his name, obviously. And he said, "I'm a Southern Baptist. I'm a Southern Baptist. My daddy was a deacon. My grandfather was a pastor." And he just listed off all these things. And I said, "Austin, but where do you stand?" He's like, "Well, I'm a Southern Baptist because I believe it, but I don't go to church because I'd rather drink beer and smoke cigarettes and they don't let me go." And so he basically just told me he's a Southern Baptist by affiliation, but he doesn't serve Jesus in his deeds.
Okay. Exactly what he was saying in 16. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deeds. And so, you know, there's a lot of folks out there, and sometimes even myself at times, that need more of what God wants me to do and need to speak to my heart more. and needing to help me to be what He wants me to be and what He's called me to be. But a lot of people out there, you know, profess to do it right, but by their deeds, by their actions, they deny Him. You know, they may say everything. You know, you may be the greatest talker, the greatest preacher of all, but if you don't live God or serve God by your actions, it's all going to go for naught. And I know we know that, but it needs to be reinforced, I think, in our lives. And I think Paul does a great job with Titus in doing that. The second thing is deeds that are an example. In chapter 2, verse 7, what he's done here in this particular chapter is he's talked about what it's like to be an older man, a younger man, a younger older woman, a younger man, and a younger woman. And what are the things that they need to be doing? The Apostle Paul was telling that to Titus so that Titus then could share that with the people and so they could grow in that area. And so verse 7 there, chapter 2, he's talking about a young man and what a young man should do. In all things, show yourself to be examples of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech. And he goes on and talks about what this person should be. We can have a good example. Sometimes we can have bad examples, right? Let me tell you the classic of bad examples in my life. I had an uncle. His name was Uncle Herman. He was 35 years old. He was a cowboy. I mean, he was rough and gruff, and he didn't go to church. He did let his wife, Ruby, take the two kids, Marcia and Monty, to church, but he didn't go. One day, he said to Monty, his son, or Ruby said to Monty, "Monty, get ready. We're going to go to church." And he just messed around, and he didn't do it. And so he said it again, "Monty, go get ready. We're going to go to church." He didn't do it again. Finally, Herman said, "Monty, listen to your mother." He said, "Dad, if you're going to hell, I want to go with you." And he said, automatically, his whole countenance changed, and he went outside, and before that day was over, he was a believer in Jesus Christ. He was setting a terrible example for his son, but I want you to know he grew into be a godly, godly man, one that I very much respected. Matter of fact, if you can believe this, as a teenage boy, I used to go every once in a while, I'd go to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights just to hear my uncle pray. That's what kind of man he turned into be. But it was by an example. You know, you have good examples in your life. You have bad examples in your life. Hopefully, we all are good examples. Hopefully, that's something in our heart and our mind that we do want to be good examples wherever we go. Well, that's what he addresses there in chapter 2, verse 7. And the next one, it's lawless deeds needs a redeeming. In chapter 2, again, verse 14, it says, "Who gave himself to us, redeemed us from every lawless deed, to purify himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." So he wants to purify us for one reason, and that reason is so that we would do good deeds, not only do good deeds, but be zealous about it, be wanting it, being trying to say, "God, use me." I'll never forget a man named Don Eskew. Don Eskew was a senior adult, and he had a business, and he mowed lawns for other senior adults and other people. And so I got a call, and somebody said, "So-and-so really needs her lawn to be mowed. Do you think you could find somebody to do it?" And I said, "Well, I think I can." And I called Don, and Don said, "Yeah, absolutely, I'll go over there." And then he said this, and I've never forgotten. He said, after that, he said, "You know, I really appreciate the fact that you thought about me to do this." And that's the kind of servant's heart that he had. "I really appreciate it that you chose me to be able to go over there and to serve." Is that our attitude? That's something that we have to examine, right? Or is it, you know, "Don't choose me. I hope they don't choose me. You know, I'm going to hope they don't choose me." But he was zealous for good deeds. Man, what that makes a difference. In this campus here at NEBC, if we just began, again, to go in that direction and move in that direction and do good deeds for people, you know, and say, "God, what is it that you would have me to do?" And do that the best of your ability. The next thing is in chapter 3, verse 1, and it talks about deeds set on go. Have deeds set on go. It says, "Remember them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, to be obedient, be ready for every good deed." So we must be ready to go. Do any of you remember how many volunteers there was for Southern Baptist Relief? How many have already been trained? You remember that? Anybody? 65,000 have already been trained. 65,000 waiting on go to do what God wants them to do because they've already been trained. I hope and I pray that, well, I know that every one of you is going to have to take my class in personal evangelism. But that's for a purpose. That's for a reason, so that you'll be prepared to share the gospel with somebody when that opportunity comes. The opportunity doesn't just come to the faculty of NEBC. It comes to all of us, all the students. Some of you are going to be able to win more people to Christ than any of the others because you have a gift and God has given that to you. But you're set on goal. You're ready. You know, I would just urge you to get to the place where you can share your life, you can tell your story, you can share with other people the gospel of Jesus Christ, where they could come to know Him as their personal Savior and Lord. Could you do that? Can you do that right now? If not, maybe the greatest thing that you could get out of this sermon is that I am going to commit myself to doing that. I am going to get to the point where I can do that, so in case that comes up, you know, I'll be ready. And then we think about it this way. Have you ever had times to share the gospel, but you didn't because you didn't know how? Well, where does that fall on? Whose responsibility is that? It's yours. It's yours to get trained, to be ready, you know, when God sends you out. That's very, very important. And so he said here, you know, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, be ready for every good deed. Be ready. Have it be set on go. You know, that you're in a position where you can share your life with Christ. We need to learn so that we can deploy ready for action. That's a part of what you're doing here. You're being trained in your particular field so that when you get an opportunity to minister, you get an opportunity to do what God's called you to do, you're ready to do it. You're ready to do it. And so I hope that you take that seriously even today and of course, in your time here at the school. The next one is the greatest deed of all. In chapter 3, verse 3, 4 through 7, it says, "For we also once were foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved, various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done, in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, with whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Lord." The greatest deed ever done was the deed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we hear that over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And I hope we still hear it over and over and over and over and over all of our lives. Because we need to let Him know how much we understand that and how much we're thankful for that and how we will do good deeds because He's done the greatest deed for us. Isn't that the motivation? And that's what really should be motivated by what God has done for us. Should that not motivate us to do for Him? Because He died on the cross for us. And I know as Southern Baptists, you hear that a lot. Praise God, you hear that a lot. And I hope we never quit hearing that. Because that needs to be proclaimed and continually needs to be proclaimed. That the greatest deed of all was the day our Savior was crucified on that cross and He was dead and buried, resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father right now, making intercession for us. I don't know about you, but I need all the intercession I can get from Him. I'll take it all. I hope and pray that He continues to speak through me and I can understand what He wants me to do. It's nothing we can do. It's not of works of righteousness which we can do. It's not any kind of deeds that we can do. He wanted to make that really clear. He's talking about deeds, but He didn't want anybody to get confused. He didn't want anybody to get confused about whether these deeds can lead to righteousness. They can't. The only thing that can lead to righteousness is God's mercy. As we yield ourselves to Him totally and completely, He makes us over. And I'm so glad for that and so thankful for that. Deeds are bathed in the Holy Spirit. And we just got through reading that again. But it's talking about the Holy Spirit there in 5. By the washing and regeneration of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Guys, we need all the power of the Holy Spirit that we can get. we don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Now, you have to be afraid of some people who think they got a special dispensation of the Holy Spirit sometimes, because those people are weird. But you know what? They think the same thing about me. That guy's weird, because he didn't do it that my way. The only way that we are supposed to do things is under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, as we yield ourselves to Him totally and completely, and as He teaches us. The other day I was reading in my Bible in Ephesians 6:18. It talks about praying in the Spirit. And I really didn't understand what that means. And I don't really know if I have fully understand it or not. I just said, God, please reveal what that means. And I think that what it means, at least for me this far, is that I'm praying, as I'm praying, my mind and my heart is open to what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. You know, as I go through my prayer list, and I hope all of you have a prayer list, I hope all of you have a prayer journal, and you're praying for people, and you know, you're writing them down, you're consistently praying for people, not every time that you think of them, maybe, but you're really praying for them. And as you go through that list, as you go through your prayer journal, the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to you and say, hey, you need to contact that person. Or you need to write them a little letter. Or you need to do this. Or you need to do that. What about them? Have you checked on them lately? I haven't seen them. Maybe somebody needs to get in contact with them. And that's the Holy Spirit, I believe, in prayer. That's the Holy Spirit telling us what we need to do. And to me, that's the understanding I have so far of what praying in the Spirit is really about. It's about putting ourselves in a position that we can hear the things of God and that we do then the things of God. And so that would be something I think that we need to continue to understand about how we can apply these deeds and how we can do what God has called us to do. We must engage. In 3:8 it says, again, this is a trustworthy statement, and concerning these things I want you to speak confidently so that those who may have believed in God will be careful to engage in good deeds. We must engage. Victory will not come. Victory will not be won, except that we be in the battle. And as you know, we are in a spiritual battle. The devil does not like what we're doing. He does not like the land that's been, he's held for so many years, being taken from him again by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are soldiers on the frontier. You're boots on the ground. You're those that are vitally, vitally important to what's happening here in the Northeast. God is using you. God will continue to use you. God will continue to have His Holy Spirit flow through you, but you've got to be engaged. You've got to get in on the front lines. You've got to say you're available. You know, you got to have to make yourself available, because that's what God has called us to do. We must engage. We cannot just sit back. And we say, but I'm a wounded person right now. I don't know whether God can use me or not. God can use anybody who puts forth simple faith to believe in Him and to overcome those things that are difficult in your own life. You know, everybody else has them. We all have them. That's why community is so important. And we bind together as those of common faith. And when we do that, you know, we can accomplish great, great things. And then lastly, one of my favorite verses in chapter 3, verse 14, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that they might not be unfruitful. That people should engage in good deeds. Our people should engage in good deeds to meet pressing needs so that we will not be unfruitful. Here's a report from disaster relief of people who have been on the ground. Professions of faith, new professions of faith. This is for last year, 215. Gospel presentation, 1,325. Chaplaincy contacts, 5,158. Ministry contacts, 11,352. Voluntary days, 22,271. Meals prepared, 126,160. Chainsaw jobs, 756. Flood recovery jobs, 1,232. Temporary roof repair, 208. Showers, 17,596. Laundry, 4,129. And children's cared for, 2,549. Boots on the ground, in the arena, helping people. How many of you have been on disaster relief? Any of you been on disaster relief? How many of you have been on a mission trip where you really ministered to people that were really needful? Any of you been on that? Okay. Let me, you know, we're going to have opportunities for you to go on trips. Dr. Harmon is already getting ready to let you know where we're thinking about going next year. If you could possibly do that, we want you to go along. But you know, we want you to go next door. We don't want you just to go overseas. We want you to go next door. And I tell you how this university, this college, is going to grow in its maximum effort, and that is only when we get out there and we share the message of what's going on here with other people who can come and want to come. Please be recruiters for us. I think as I look over and see your hearts and your faces, that most people are really committed to the school, and we are so very thankful for that. But you know what? God wants us to reach 2 times more, 4 times more, 8 times more, 16 times more. He wants us to reach these people. Why? Why does he want us to reach these people to come to this school? Because they are going to hear the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're going to be trained then to take it out from this building. We're just getting started. This is year 4. We're just getting started. Can you imagine what's going to happen in this place? Can you imagine what God's going to do here? I really hope it's not even entered in your mind. I hope it's even beyond anything we can think and dream of. That the power of the Holy Spirit would just overflow in this place, and we would all be changed, and we would all be not changed to be something special, changed to be a servant. A servant's heart. Where we go out and we minister, and God touches lives. Well, I think you can understand what I think about Titus and about what's important to me in the book of Titus. And I would ask you, please, that you just be ready to do good deeds and not be unfruitful. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much just for reminding us again what the main thing is. And I do pray for all of us, Lord, everyone that's in this place, that you would just touch our hearts again, that you would move us forward, that you'd help us to engage in pressing needs so that we would not be unfruitful. So God, we just want to confess today that we love you. We thank you so much for loving us. And we thank you for what you're going to do here in NEBC. In your name, amen.